Welcome to the A News Podcast. This is episode 116. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. Editorial. Anarchist News and Social Media. For me, there are three things that Anarchist News does that make it a worthwhile project and different from most other online anarchist projects. First, it allows comments. Second, it allows comments that are anonymous. Third, it is run by anarchists on an anarchist-controlled platform. Reading the Scolium blog post on sacred cows this week, I realized explicitly for the first time, because I'm slow, obviously, that Anarchist News is social media. Of course, the reason that never occurred to me before is because I think of social media in two ways that don't include projects like Anarchist News. Either as huge corporations using algorithms, tracking people, selling their information, and including millions, or at least hundreds of thousands, of users. Or as a modern phenomenon not contained by or limited to any particular forum or company, a force of the modern social world beyond anyone's control. But to the extent that social media is any form in which people interact virtually and according to online rules, then A-News is obviously part of the mix. And that makes the fact that it's run by anarchists more interesting and significant. It's anarchists interacting with an alienating modern world, but trying to do it on our own terms. I think I'm arguing here that it's anarchists taking responsibility seriously in a forum that isn't megascale and corporate, in which the decision-making isn't math or profit, but human. I'm not saying that A-News is some shining example of everything awesome, but that it's a kind of anarchist experiment that ideally more anarchists would be participating in. More, I'm wondering how the conversation about social media changes when marginal projects like A-News and even like Anarchy Radio are part of it. Do strangers' phone calls count as virtual interactions? We're still in the middle of understanding slash creating what online rules are, but is there any way to prepare for what those rules will bring next? Sure, it's a dramatic escalation, but is the difference between being online and reading a book a difference in kind or one of degree? These probably aren't the best questions raised by this topic, but they're a start. Also, find yourself an anarchist project to commit to. What's new this week? Anarchist prisoner Tamara Sowell denied conditional freedom from Abolition Media Worldwide. From what I can tell with minimal searching, conditional freedom is Chile's term for parole, i.e. letting people out of prison with restrictions, usually including having to check in with officers of the court. This is a brief announcement that Tamara Sowell isn't getting any, even though officially she is eligible. Prisoners, much less anarchist prisoners, not getting treated with the rules that the state gives itself is hardly news, but it's good to be reminded anyway.
And moved again, from Sean Swain. An even shorter announcement that Sean's been moved again, giving his new address and removing any excuse you have not to write him. He sends awesome cartoons on the envelopes with his return messages. If you don't have at least one, you're missing out.
Holman Report, from Anarchy Alive by Michael Kimball. Prisons are horrible. Some are worse than others, although, as always, which are worse depends on how and what you're measuring. At any rate, this check-in by Kimball, based on a report from an investigation of the U.S. Department of Justice, because, you know, sources, is on the closing of an Alabama prison. It ends by pointing to the unintended consequences of reform, in this case, resistance to, quote, prison officials, unquote. This acknowledgement is the last line of this one-page announcement, and it's the only line of content that even tends a bit toward anything anarchist. It gives not nearly enough specifics, but the story it tells is of prisoners fighting and killing each other, everyone being scared, drug scams, and how everything got worse because there weren't enough guards. Kimball says nothing to indicate that the source of the information might have anything to do with this conclusion. One wonders why it was written by an anarchist for anarchists at all.
Update from Nicaragua, from CrimeThink. I can give this article unequivocal thumbs up. It starts out with some solid general questions and goes on to update about the situation in Nicaragua in the year since the revolt against Ortega. It reminds about recent history, informs about the increase in liberation theology and the Pope's attempt to defuse it, political prisoners, and some about the international situation. It does not say that anarchists will overcome, but it does talk about anarchist tactics. CrimeThink is remarkable and valuable for its maintenance of international relationships, initially built on the music touring of one of its members. This kind of article is the best of it. Quote, right now, the most common form of direct action is the piquet or sting. It involves a call for decentralized, small-scale manifestations all around a city, in which affinity groups of any size can rapidly protest and then disappear. Some examples of these piquetes involve rapidly taking the streets, disrupting food courts in malls, calling out chants in public buses, doing banner drops, intentionally causing traffic congestion with your car, dropping gallons of white and blue paint in the street, setting up impromptu memorial graves, protesting inside a church, tying balloons to street poles and trees, and more. The goal of these piquetes is to overwhelm the police and create panic in their ranks, since they try to rapidly locate and disrupt such actions, unquote.
The anti-anarchist spirit of individual violence within peaceful protests, from Freedom News UK by Federico Abal. OMG.
Black Seed 7. Sources agree that this publication is getting better with each new issue, with a significant leap after issue 4. Reviews, analysis, provocation, aphorisms, and some beautiful art by dead painters. What more could you want?
Some notes on the spread of morality and sacred cows, from Scolium's blog. Chisel notes in the thread that this post has the best explanation for the toxicity of social media that we've ever read. Worth reading for that alone. Aside from that, it's mostly a not surprising comparison between right-wing Christians and what Scolium calls social justice warriors, but could really be any online activists. Of course, this includes some we have heard from on A-News, which has to count as a kind of social media itself, for better and for worse. Quote, what is a psychological wage? In exchange for our toil performing moralistic duties, we are paid with feelings and beliefs that we are better than other people. For example, social media feels terrible. Even capitalist common sense will admit it for the moment. But for moral crusaders whose mission entails spreading their gospel, this discomfort is the labor for which they receive positive feelings about themselves. One gives up personal comfort in exchange for the belief and resulting sense of self-satisfaction that they embody what morality has designated as good. And goodness is only meaningful in contrast to those who are cast as bad. The feeling of being good is just that of being better than others. This causes the warping effect of martyrdom, where receiving abuse feels pleasurable. You are not just being yelled at and insulted, you are engaging in sacrifice. Unquote. Interesting, right?
Anarchism and Reconciliation Part 2 from Counterpunch by Kim C. Domenico. Another quarter heard from. This piece from an anarcho-Christian is absolutely resonant with situationist analysis. Quote, particularly in the post-honeymoon crisis, when the naked lunch is exposed, marriages provide the only context in which liberal, middle-class white people find themselves starkly, disturbingly, face-to-face with the other. In this case, an other they have vowed to love and honor, through sickness and poverty, etc., till death do them part. This opportunity, if it could be understood as such, if we were developing a culture not of escapism but of depth, is the opening by which can be faced the least tolerated other of all, the other within. What we must come to realize, not only is the GDP helped by a high divorce rate, human beings kept in a pre-initiatory condition, never required to make the transformation to adult maturity, never experiencing the inner reality myth teaches, are incapable of authentic individuality and thus perfect candidates for the roles of addictive consumer and obedient worker, unquote. This is an explicit criticism of simplistic analyses of relationships from an actual anarchist, even if she is also a Christian. How confusing.
A radical publisher has set up an anarchist big issue scheme in London, and it's thriving, from the Canary Co., which says it's about independent media / campaigning journalism, unquote. This is a promotion of Dog Section Press, a left anarchist publishing nonprofit in London. It reflects its anarchism through Creative Commons licensing for all its books by keeping things cheap, yet still, quote, refusing to compromise on quality because there's nothing too good for the working class, unquote. Yes, I'm laughing. The big issue in the title refers to a UK publication given to indigent folks as a way for them to make money. Dog Section Press is doing that with some of the copies of a newspaper they make called Dope. Quote, while political education and spreading propaganda is important to us, we also wanted to do something based on tangible solidarity. We've tried to make Dope a direct action, a sort of propaganda by the deed, unquote. Yep, they're calling charity work propaganda by the deed. How words do change.
Raoul Vanagam, A Radical Politics of Life, from Autonomies, by Vanagam, who is an example to us all in staying engaged and challenging. The majority of this is poetry, by which I mean beautiful exhortations. Quote, they know everything about death because it's the only thing they know how to give. They are ignorant of the riches that life gives to those who know how to collect them. It is a territory unknown to them, the creativity and imagination that every child, every woman, every man has when he is listening to his will to live, unquote. However, this excerpt from a book ends with two practical bits, one, a suggestion that we not pay either for public transportation or taxes, and two, that the Zapatistas are a concrete example of what he's been talking about. This suggestion is highly reminiscent of temporary autonomous zones, and it makes me wonder what Hakim Bey and Vanagam together would get up to.
June 11, 2019 statement from Marius Mason. From supportmariusmason.org. Marius talks about enjoying two books he's read recently, Anne Hansen's Taking the Rap, Women Doing Time for Society's Crimes, and Adrienne Marie Brown's Emergent Strategies, Shaping Change, Changing Worlds. Quote, what is true is that I have traded my freedom and everything I held dear in the free world for a chance at building a new world by resisting the old. I made many, many mistakes and some terrible decisions in that passionate quest. I am humbled by this, but not embittered, because if there is dialogue, reflection, and analysis, then perhaps there can be some worthwhile lesson found in my experience that could benefit any resistance movement in its growth. And it is that study of our collective history and legacy of struggle that helps me to see my efforts as a small stream joining that great river of change. Unquote. Write an anarchist prisoner today.
Anathema, Volume 5, Issue 2, from anathema.nobogs.org. The table of contents and links to the PDF. Galeanus Centennial, Representation as Indirect Action, Mauricio Morales, Tactics, Milkshaking, Collectives, etc. Quote, anarchists in Philly tend to avoid anything resembling a permanent organization. This allergy to permanence likely comes from the influence of insurrectionary anarchism, and the criticism of formality as stagnant, membership-oriented, reformist, and even authoritarian. But the lack of interest in collectives is also the result of the lack of interest in collectives. Rather than treat the dearth of collectives as a problem or an achievement, we can take this moment as an opportunity to explore what a collective is, what it could be, and how it could be useful to anarchists, unquote. I probably picked that quotation because I'm pondering anarchist groups myself right now. Ponder, ponder, ponder.
Means and Ends, The Anarchist Critique of Seizing State Power, from Black Rose Federation, by Anarcho Pack. Ah, here's the Anarcho Pack I blew off last week as being another UK workers-oriented anarchist. I think it's fair to say that there are two visions of how things might change to be more what anarchists want. One is a linear, seemingly but not really more practical route, with more and more people engaging in more and more anarchist practices until one day we're there. The other hopes that after shit is torn down, with or without anarchist help, in the aftermath we can start to flourish or at least be less fucked up. Here, like the leftists they are, Anarcho Pack, aka Zoe, explains how anarchists have traditionally refused to separate means and ends, using the example of state power as being not a morally flawed way, but a practically flawed way to get to where we say we want to be. Quote, revolutionaries therefore have to use means that are constituted by forms of practice that will actually transform individuals into the kinds of people who will be able to and want to create the end goal of communism. If revolutionaries make the mistake of using the wrong or inappropriate means, then they will produce people who will create a different society to one they initially intended, unquote. The issue with this that I see is that multiple things create slash influence people, and that leftists only look at the pretty parts of what they want to see as attractive behavior. The means and ends topic is one that is not examined enough and is worthy of an editorial. Maybe someone will do one soon.
Madrid, Spain, Anti-Terrorist Operation Against Anarchism, from Act for Freedom Now. Another very short announcement from Spain that some anarchist spaces were raided and some anarchists arrested, and that folks should meet up.
June 11, 2019, on Taking It All Down, from June11.org by Sean Swain. Sean tells the story of the serious ramping up of hostile actions against him by prison officials and his imminent departure to, quote, the most violent prison in Virginia, unquote. Quote, not sure, but if the fart goblins intended to have me whacked, I imagine that's where they'd send me. Joke's on them. They're too late. I'm fairly certain that I have single-handedly drafted the detailed and exhaustive blueprint for bringing down Ohio. And by bringing down Ohio, bringing down the United States. And by bringing down the United States, bringing down the whole 8,000-year civilization program. I've written it up and I've gotten it out. Unquote. This piece also has links to materials to read and send out. Sean is a treasure and an example of continuing to be anarchist under some of the harshest conditions. Write him.
Storming the Gates, from Crimethink, a collection of stories of prison resistance, malfeasance, and analysis about criminalization and incarceration as related to workforces and labor. Quote, after the uprising in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014, prisoner struggles became more militant around the country. In Alabama, at the Holman Correctional Facility, C-block prisoners have repeatedly ambushed and overpowered guards and engaged in mass actions and strikes. In 2016, a nationwide prison strike grabbed national headlines as prisoners across the country refused forced labor. During the strike, rebellion, rioting, and arson broke out in multiple facilities around the South. Strikes and other acts of resistance have become normal at facilities across the U.S. Another nationwide strike took place in 2018, unquote. Unlike the week's first Crimethink story, this one is a more typical mix of real-world information, solid analysis, and delusional we-shall-overcome rhetoric. Definitely better than the Kindle piece, of course. Sigh.
Audio and video. Video. Anarchists attack the Greek parliament in solidarity with hunger striker D. Koufoudinas. 2:46. Quote, in the afternoon of May 21st, 2019, anarchists of Rubiconas Collective invaded the grounds of the Greek parliament, the most secured building in Greece, in the center of Athens, and attacked the main parliament building with red paint and flares, in solidarity with prisoner Dimitri, who is on hunger strike since May 2, 2019. His health is in a critical and serious condition. Despite the fact that he has been jailed since 2003 and he is entitled to a temporary leave of 2 days, his petition has been denied on the grounds of his political beliefs, a revolutionary left advocate. During the last few weeks, there has been a barrage of dozens of attacks on high-profile targets in solidarity with this hunger striker, including the U.S. ambassador's home, banks, luxury shops, political offices, and police stations, unquote. Straightforward street-level footage, no music, only understated drama, text in Greek.
Anarchy Radio, May 21st, 2019. An hour. The usual. Things are bad and technology is making it badder. Rhea calls in looking for Jay-Z's advice to artists trying to square anti-civ's anti-symbolic views with their art. John remarks that we need to, quote, use whatever we have in this world, unquote, in our resistance,
which I guess
explains his plug for a Netflix series on the Unabomber? Rewild and chill.
American Experience. Emma Goldman, 54 minutes, from Public Broadcasting Service, aka PBS. Emma's life narrated over mostly historical footage, interspersed with comments from various liberal historians and authors, but also Barry Pateman, who was always lovely. Classic PBS. They didn't even include the footage of her on videotape speaking for herself. I hear that this is the only documentary of her, which is shocking, or maybe entirely predictable. At least the outgoing quotation from Barry is excellent.
The Balkan Anarchist Book Fair 2018 in Novi Sad, Serbia, from A Radio Berlin. Interview with the organizers of the 12th Balkan Anarchist Book Fair. Collective members speak to the struggles of organizing an anarchist event without anarchist infrastructure, the threat of fascist street violence in Serbia, and the book fair's successes. An interesting point made is that, according to the interviewees, Serbian authorities largely ignore anarchists due to their non-participation in party politics.
Anarchy Bang, episode Your Dad is Very Disappointed in You, an hour. Aragorn and Ariel talk about aging and use the excellent metaphor of hosting. One call from someone advocating that anarchists treat each other with respect, shocking. Some tech issues, meaning mostly that the audio cuts out a couple times.
In a vine-covered shack in the mountains, bravely fighting the battle of time. Is a dear one who's weathered life's sorrow. Is that silver-haired daddy of mine?
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Dim. What's New was written by Jackie and Dim and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Chisel. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com.
Your heart, if God would but grant me the power just to turn back the pages of time, I'd give all I own if I could but atone to that silver-haired daddy of mine. I know it's true.